So, Roy, I've already got a
Guys.
couple questions here. Do you want to give us just a brief intro of who you are, what's going on?
So, this time that we are meeting now, this is we're getting into the 7 months of the war. I'm as
Wow.
a reserve military soldier in 7 months now inside this situation. The situation today, it's even more complicated than we spoke last time. We have now at least seven enemies, declared enemies during this war. Hamas is one of them, and the new old new participant is Iran. That now actually uncover her position in this war. So now we are having a lot of combat situations here in the north, in the south, in every border, and inside Israel with the so-called Palestinians. Not a very nice situation. This is took us from our normal life a long time now. We thought it's going to take 2 or 3 months, and now it's going to be probably to the foreseeable future. We don't know when it's going to end or if it's going to end. I don't have a date to back to my civilian life. That's it. This is how we are doing here this evening. I will be happy to answer every question you have. For me, it's normal. I don't know what to talk about because this is the situation we live in.
Right, yeah, we can't imagine. So I do have a couple questions here, so let's start off with a pretty easy one. Should the US have an Iron Dome?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to talk about politics so much when I'm in uniform. US is helping us a lot in one hand and kind of stopping our effort in the other hand. So
Yeah.
This is complicated situation that I'm not sure I'm supposed to comment when I'm still in uniform. So I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Understood. I will comment. So I've been staying on top of Amir Sarfati's Telegram channel. If any of you know who Amir Sarfati is, he's a strong brother in Christ, and I highly suggest that you follow him on Telegram. We can include that in our next e-blast as well. He has a ministry called Behold Israel. He is in Galilee, and so I'm staying on top of that channel to get the most accurate and up-to-date news. And yes, he has told us several times how the U.S. just keeps going back and forth, basically. I don't know if you saw a recent press conference with Biden. They were asking him, what is your message to Iran about attacking Israel, responding to the attack on the supposed embassy, which it was not. We can cover that later too. And Biden said, don't. Apparently, that was his message to Iran. And well, actually, he has been aiding both sides. We are helping Israel, but also they are very much in touch with Iran. And it's hard to talk about it without just getting so frustrated. But I mean, that's our current administration, right? So, as far as should the US have an Iron Dome, actually, another thing I want to say to that is I was speaking with another friend in Israel. And her comment to that was, "Is it really? Do you really need it? Doesn't US, the US have the ammunitions? But also, She said, "It seems like all of your invaders are on foot," which was a great point she made.
I will say one thing about the U.S. administration stand, where they stand. A lot of us now believe that the first don't 6 months ago and the new don't from this week, it's said to Israel as well as to Iran. And Israel need to tiptoe around this war because the American administration just said don't. The don't is for us as well.
Yes, absolutely. Next question.
Great. Do you have a lot of anti-Semitism in Israel? And how do you deal with it?
Anti-Semitism in Israel? I'm not sure it could call anti-Semitism in Israel because we have some hate from the Arabs, of course, and we have some self anti-Semitism as we saw this till the 6th in October, the Yom Kippur events. If I don't know if you know about them, it was the climax of the protest of the left in Israel. Was Yom Kippur, and there was every year there is a big prayer in the all the major cities, all cities, not only in the majors. In Tel Aviv, the left wing came with the protest and threw Bibles on the ground and been violent to Jewish praying on the street. I'm talking about the Jewish left wing, yes, not not Arabs or Christians. So this now is under the carpet, as we call it, like those people are now waiting to have a better situation for their protest and their Jew hate or anti-Semitism, auto-anti-Semitism. I don't know even how to call it. It's some weird, I don't know, weird Frankenstein situation. Jews hate themselves and making stuff that we saw, I don't know, less time maybe in Germany in the 40s. But those are very, very, very few people. This is very small minority. They have a lot of TV time, like in the United States and a lot of countries in Europe. The left wing is controlling the media or at least the big channel news. So it seems like very excessive, very big, but it's not like a common thing to have anti-Semitism in Israel.
I'm glad you brought up the left that exists there in Israel, because something we had mentioned when we first brought you on in our meeting a couple months ago that a lot of people were surprised to hear, I learned this from your wife, was that a lot of the Israelis who were living in the kibbutzes, the villages that were first attacked on October 7th, a majority of them were, be it liberals or leftists, who very much supported the Palestinians, some may say even Hamas, and they were the ones who were attacked first, the ones who were going out of their way to cohabitate with them and to make sure they got jobs in Israel and that they were treated fairly. They were the ones who attacked first, which was really sad. So the left exists everywhere.
Well, those kibbutzim, as you call them, it's a way of settlement that's been established in the beginning of Israel. by communists that came from Russia to expand communism to the Zionism angle. Okay, the Jews want to establish communism in Israel and to become part of the worker of the world and to have a new, I don't know, a Soviet Union republic in Israel. Those people having left wings politics as a basic instinct. They born into communism. They are living their life as atheism, atheists. They Jews, you know, by born, they don't want to be Jews. They don't want to be a part of the Jewish nation. They want to be part of the world nation. Those are nice people with nice ideas, but as we all know, the real world, it's not for kindergarten politics. Not every civilization born equal, and not every society can actually live by the liberalism idea. But they tried, and they were very helpful for the Palestinians in Gaza. They were organizing work permits and shuttles to the hospitals in Israel, special permits to go to Israel. As I don't know if everybody knows, Israel is not in Gaza for 20 years now. The settlements is outside of Gaza. There is no Israeli force in Gaza, of course, till this war. And there is another border to Gaza with Egypt. Mm-hmm. And we hoped when we evicted all the settlements from this area that Gaza will have a connection with Egypt and just leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, didn't happen. We suffered for 20 years from missiles attacks and of course, the climax of everything in the October 7, 23. And the first people who met those Hamas terrorists in the 7 in October was exactly those people. Those left-wing people that been established the kibbutzim and mm-hmm. close to Gaza Strip. It wasn't that close when they established it. Gaza Strip grew bigger and bigger during the years. This was very far away, and during the year it became the few of the kibbutzim have a wall between them and Gaza, like 5 feet, 10 feet from the Gaza city. So they were the first to meet Hamas terrorists. They tried to say that they have a left-wing politics, and they discover for their horror that terrorists don't really care about politics. They just want to slaughter Jews. And we said we are saying here from again people like me and my wife Avital that you met that have right wing politics. We always said you don't get to choose if you are Jew. Hitler decide if you are Jew or not. You can only live like that. You will always be the world Jew. And they discover it very, very hard way.
Yeah, absolutely, the hardest way. And we need to share that information with all of the pro-Palestinians in the country who are chanting from the river to the sea. And a lot of them are just,
you know, just liberal. I mean, they're truly just uneducated.
Yeah, they're liberal college students They're in college, but they're uneducated, and they have no idea what's really going on. And it's especially sad to see the queers for Palestine, queers for Hamas. I guess they really have absolutely no idea what would happen to them if they really got some FaceTime with them. So let's move on to the next question.
Yeah, actually, how has the morale been between the soldiers and everybody else? I know that it's been pretty chaotic, though, but how has the morale been from October to now?
Well, the morale is very high. We are obviously frustrated because we are being stopped all the time, again, by our government, who had to accept terms and conditions from other governments that sending here people to sit in our war cabinet and sending some difficulties in our way to win this thing. But the morale is high. We're going to win this thing. We don't have a choice. We have nowhere to go. Man. We have to win this thing. So obviously it's not fun, but this is the first time in the last 2,000 years that the Jewish people can stand for themselves and don't need to beg for defense. So for us, it's something very unique for us to be part of it. It's a big thing for us to be part of this defense. We actually, of course, we don't want to have wars here, but this is a dawn of a new Jew. You know, it's with pride and capabilities. And we don't need to hide in the basement again. So we're gonna win this thing. We just don't have any other choice. We have to win this thing. We will win this thing. So the morale is accordingly. We have high morale. We are not in great shape. We don't like it, but the morale is high. We're gonna win.
That's great to hear. That's the attitude to have. And I can only imagine the morale is the highest it's been since prior to October 7th, given the success of Israel's response in Iran. And even though you now have an impending attack, a response through Iran, I can just imagine that seeing the success of that, I'm sure it boosted morale.
Well, I agree about that we very appreciate the defense that we have that brought us this great, we can call it success, but success in war, it's not if you were able to not get hit. War, it's not... It's not like a ping pong match. It doesn't matter if we got hit now or not. Of course, obviously, we don't want to get hit. The war have a purpose, and we need to get our goals. And if it's mean that we have some casualties, so we will have casualties. But this is not win. To not get hit, it's not a win.
Right.
It's a great defense, but it's not a win. And obviously, we are all waiting to win. And by saying, when I mean win, I mean to achieve the goal of safe borders to Israel. If it's mean we're going to attack in Iran, maybe it's mean that, maybe it doesn't mean that. It doesn't matter. War is it's like a big check game, and you need to win. And to win, if you have casualties or not, it's not the issue. It's not the issue. We have great ratio in Israel. We are by far in Gaza, in Iran, in Syria. They have much, much more casualties than we do. It
Yes.
doesn't mean that we won. We will win when we will have control of Israel borders and make them safe, and no one will have the courage to attack Israel. This is going to be win.
Yes.
What we to saying about this missiles attack, it's a nice defense. It's a nice
Yes.
defense.
So, what is the latest on rebuilding of the temple? Are you aware of that?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
What is the latest on rebuilding of the temple?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't hear you at all.
Oh, sorry,
Oh.
is my mic out here? Won't you?
Okay. Well, we're working on Brandon's mic. The question was, what's the latest on the rebuilding of the temple?
I cannot comment on that. I'm
Okay.
sorry.
That's fine. The mystery continues. So next question. Do you know about the floating pier to be built by the USA to help food distribution? Will this be a thorn in the side of Israel?
Yeah, we know about that. This is a little bit ridiculous because Gaza got a lot of food inside. They got a lot of aid inside. The market in Gaza are full. Even today, you could see on the internet if you want. It's not a big secret. There is a lot of pictures from Gaza markets. There's a lot of pictures from the beach in Gaza. Many Palestinians went today to have a nice vacation on the Yeah, it's only in a few small areas that Israel evicted long, long time ago from civilians that the war is actually going on. It was a little bit problem with the food and water in the beginning of the war because Hamas got hijacked all the truck that got into Gaza. And actually used the food to make money. They sold it in very high prices in the markets, and
No battery, please
it
charge.
took a lot of from the people in Gaza to actually buy. It took a lot of resources from them. But there was no hunger at any point in Gaza. So
Yeah, we've
this
seen that.
floating thing is it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It's just a PR.
Yeah, I've seen so many pictures on Amir's channel. I, like you
No
said, they're at the
battery.
beach, the photos of the markets, everything looks perfectly fine. I know that's not the case, in all of Gaza, but definitely what the picture the media is painting is definitely incorrect. And another picture I just saw today, there were huge pallets of cigarettes being
Yeah,
sent over there, 'cause you
exactly.
know that is
Exactly.
a
When
need.
you're hungry, you don't need cigarettes pallets.
Yes.
This is luxury, and we don't like it that we need to feed our enemies. This is we think part of the things that make this war longer. We could finish it a long, long time ago if we didn't have to feed them, dress them, give them electricity, water, and again, from this coming, not from our country. Those demands are not coming from Israel to feed and fuel the enemy. And I don't believe that any other country in the history of the world actually gave food, water, and fuel and electricity to the enemy during wartime. This is demands that the West have only to one country in the world.
Yes, absolutely. And that's another thing that the mainstream media is not showing, that the circumstances in this war are unlike anything we've ever seen in history, the ratio of civilian deaths to actually Hamas military deaths is still one to less than one, which is, and the ratio is usually one military death to nine civilians. So the steps that the IDF has taken is to avoid civilian casualties is just absolutely incredible. And like you said, you're feeding them, you're giving them water. I think just recently you finished the construction of a new water pipeline to bring even more water into Gaza. It's just absolutely incredible. The fact that Israel is doing all of this and that the rest of the world has no idea is, well, they will know eventually, I hope. It will be in the history books.
Well, it's even a little more incredible that you than you said. You are correct with the numbers of the ratio and everything. But you have to remember, this is not war between two countries. This is war between a country and a terror organization. They don't use uniform. They don't use any marks as an army. So they are actually hiding between citizens in Gaza. They're actually using the citizens as human shields in Gaza. And still the ratio is not even close to what like U.S. Army did in Iraq or any other country that actually participate war in the last 50 years. The numbers are incredible. No other army in the history of the modern time did what the Israeli army is doing in Gaza by the part of civilian people's life. There is no other example for that in the modern history.
So are the numbers inflated by Al Jazeera about civilians being killed in Gaza?
Sorry, again?
Are the numbers inflated by Al Jazeera about civilians being killed in Gaza?
There are civilians killed in Gaza. This is war. And this is one of the more occupied places in the world. But the casualties compared to other situation like that is very, very low. It's unbelievably low.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
they're going to be a casualty. This is war.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we've just been hearing through media that one day it's X number, and then some time passes, and then they retract that number. And so it's like, so what is it? So that's the news that we get here, that we really don't know what the numbers are, but it's only the people like yourself that really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have another question here. So what are the rules, your rules of engagement?
Are you able to share that?
Yeah, is that something you guys are able to share?
No comment.
Didn't think so. Doesn't hurt to try.
All right, so does
that's a good one.
Does Israel have sufficient resources at this time, like food, clothing, power? Can we help with efforts for provisions? Which is actually a pretty good question.
So there is everything we need by the country level. What I mean, the army have missiles, the army have ammunition for the airplanes. This is something that between governments, people from in our level cannot help by this. Other thing, units like mine that are now specialized in protecting small villages against attacks like the 7 in October, we have less equipment than the other army, because we are actually now considered as a back soldier, not like in the front, like not like in Gaza, not like in Hezbollah border with what's you know as Lebanon, but Lebanon is actually not really exist. There is a country called Hezbollah in northern Israel. So most of the equipment is going there, it's going to Gaza, it's going to the Air Force, as it should. But in our areas, we are dealing with terrorists in different kind of combat. We are in defense, we are in a fight with small terrorist groups, it two, three people that coming and try to make to murder someone, to shoot cars on the road, to fire farms, and so on and so on. So we need help in that level. If it's interest to any of you, you can donate, and we are buying equipment with that, like the drones that we are using to find them, a special GPS that we can use during combat, because you know, during combat all GPSs are off, and we have super special equipments, and so on and so on. This is stuff that Israel now don't have enough muscle to give us, and the other people that are in the front at the same time. If it's interesting to you, I can leave after that details of how you can donate and stuff like that. Everything can help, but even the nice prayer and mention us to the big guy could help.
Yes, that touches on our last two questions, actually, which was what agencies do you recommend to help and support the Israeli people? So if you know of any offhand that you can mention, otherwise, if you want to send it to us, and we'll make sure that we send it to the group.
Okay, we can do that after the Great. The
Okay, great. And then last question. So when we first met, for those of you who don't know, we first met Roy and his wife Avital when we were camping as a family up in the Sequoias last summer for my birthday, and we connected instantly, and we briefly talked about our faith walk, and we talked about God, and so we found out that you are not a Christian. If you are open to sharing any part of your walk with God or the big guy, as you refer to him, the last question we had is, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Do you believe he is still helping Israel win against your enemy?
Well, for me, it's not so complicated. I'm not a religious person. But I'm a believing Jew. I believe in God. I have my set of rules that God gave, and I go with. For me, it wasn't a question at any time. I know God is keeping Israel. God help us through 3,000 years, and he is standing with us. This is not the first time the Jewish people stand against very unequal forces, and we are still here. A lot of the nations that stood against us during the history no longer exist, and we are still here. For me, it's kind of... it's obvious for me that God is with us, and it's not because that I believe it's not because that we are so special or everything. I think we are as a nation are good people with good intentions, And I think in my belief, God's looking at that more than what I have in my plate or what I'm doing in Shabbat morning. I live my life as a 3,000 years soldier of God. This is who I am. I know that since I'm five. For me, there is no now. When Iran is attacking Israel, for me, it's an attack that starts in Megillat Esther, in Purim. It's not coming from now. And when Hitler tried to kill all the Jews in the world, it didn't start in Germany in the 30s of the last century. For me, it started when Amalek came after us in the desert. My history is bigger than my 41 years on the ground. So I'm sure I know God is standing with me as he stand with me in those last 3,000 years. It's not an option for me.
And for those watching, how I know you've mentioned this to us prior, but you live right there where Jesus was baptized, correct?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh,
sorry.
He was saying that you live right where Jesus was baptized. Your moshav is close to where Jesus was baptized
site.
In the Jordan Valley,
yes,
correct?
I live like 10 minutes from where Jesus baptized. So this is also for us I will try to make it in a wider angle because we live in the place that most of the Bible happened. Okay, I live 10 minutes from the baptism site, where this is the exact location. The baptism site is the exact location that the Israelites crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. This
wow.
is not an accident that this is the point that Jesus has been baptized. It's a very holy area with special energy. And everywhere you go, you can see history. You can see Judaism history. You can see Christian history. Everything happened where I live. This is a place that actually you cannot be like not a believer. You cannot go around and see every place you stand. There's 3, 4, 5,000 years of history. This is the place that the agriculture started. This is where people became from the tribes that go on land and then they became the monotheism and came civilization. So, yeah, this is the place. You cannot act
yes.
otherwise.
Yes.
Very cool.
That's great. That's we hope to visit someday
yeah,
soon.
Someday.
We've heard nothing but beautiful things about Israel. So on that note, we are going to close in prayer. We would love to pray for you and pray for all of Israel. Here, let me share my mic.
So we're going to share mics because we have a little technical difficulties. But Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to pray for the peace of Israel, for the peace of Roy and his family, Lord. Please equip them with all that they need, give them the resources, Lord, and the wisdom. I pray for the salvation for Roy and his family and all the people of Israel, Lord, that they may know you and come to love you, Lord. We pray that you continue to bless them in all that they do, Lord.
Lord, we thank you also for this this recent victory of Israel's response to Iran. Though, as Roy said, it isn't necessarily a victory. We thank you that no greater damage was done to Israel and your chosen people. Really, so many people are saying believers and non-believers that what happened was an act of God, that there wasn't more damage done. And we are so grateful because we know you had a hand in that. And we just continue to pray your hand of protection over your chosen people. And we pray that you do not forsake us, Lord, that you guide us, everyone around the world, in really knowing your word and knowing that you call us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for your chosen people. And we pray that truth come to light, your truth, the only truth. And we know that things are supposed to get a lot worse before you come for us. And we just pray for peace through it all and strength and resolve in continuing to stand up for you, to spread your word, the good news, your truth, your light, to be the salt of the earth. We thank you so much for Roy. Please, we pray a special protection over him and his wife, Avital, and over all the people in their community. And we thank you for Godspeak and just for this opportunity to commune with one another, to fellowship, and to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 Roy, thank you so much again for doing this. As I told you leading up to this, everybody was so excited, and I'm pretty sure that we're going to have other groups wanting to check in with you as well. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Roy.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for inviting me. It's very, very good feeling to know that we have friends in this side of the globe. Thank you, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll talk soon. Bye.
Bye.